Amen. 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 You may be seated. Amen. Thank you. Oh, good morning. Good morning. How's everybody doing today? Amen. Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord, to come together to worship Him? You know, hey, you need to worship at home. You need to give Him the praise and the honor that is due to Him. Read your Bible, do all those things. But it's good to come together. There's strength and power with a multitude of people that have one mind one thing to do, one thing in mind, and that's to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, to give Him the praise and the glory and the honor that is due to Him this day. Just a matter of, just a matter of note. I don't know all the. Maybe Sherry, you can help me with this. Jimmy Reshard, y'all know Jimmy Reshard from Harvest Time Tabernacle. He passed away. Is it Friday? Okay, around 3 or so, they said, in the morning, something, I'm not sure. But when is the funeral? Do you know? Tomorrow at 11. So I know it's going to be at harvest time, tomorrow at 11 at harvest time. But I know it's being opened today in the afternoon. 2 to 9. Okay, at harvest time, yes. So from 2 to 9 today. And Jimmy Reshard was the associate pastor of Harvest Time for many, 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 many years, a long time. I can't say how many years, but I know it's been a long time. And he had some, medical issues, whatever, you know, just things came up, and he was really not at the church for a long time, maybe a year or so, is that, you know, something like that? More than that? Okay. And so let's just keep his wife and their children and grandchildren. You know, it's hard to lose someone. It's just hard, no matter what. No matter what, if we like them or not, you know, not Jimmy Reshard, like whoever dies, you know, we still miss. And so, you know, pray for the family, that God would comfort them and help them and be with them. You know, they're going to have all the comfort and help today and tomorrow, but it's then when they are alone. When they're alone. But you know what? God wants that alone time, because He can come in and show up like He's never done before in their lives. So keep them in mind. Also, just a matter of note, just to remind you, there's a baby shower today. Jess and Joe, they're having the baby shower today here at 3 o'clock. So if you'd like to come, you are more than invited to come, ladies, from 3 to 5. Also, a matter of note, with the new building, the carpet all has been laid. So we're excited about that. Miss Gail got to see it. The carpet's in there. It's done, basically. Lafayette Music came yesterday and finished all the stuff. You know, we had done everything behind the walls, you know, that you need, all the wiring, everything. And they came yesterday and finished it up. And so we ordered the chairs. They should be in next week sometime. Then we'll have to put something, the back part, together on it and stuff. So just in a matter of weeks or so, we'll be in that other building, guys. And so thank God. Thank God for what He's done. You know, we're just excited about what He's done and what He is doing in people's lives, and how much He cares about even the little aspects of our lives, the little things, much less the big things. We know that. But in a matter of weeks or so, we're gonna be on that other end, in there. And so we're excited about that and excited about what God is doing. Also, a matter of note, last week we picked up $1,168.50 for your tithe and offerings to the church. And we want to tell you we appreciate it, and we thank you that you trust us, and, you know, just to keep things going. And so we appreciate your trust, and thank you for being faithful to the church. Also, a matter of note, just to let you know, during the week I bought some Bibles. And you might, and I know it's in your bulletin. We bought some Bibles. Every month they have a Bible-thon that they call. And what they do is they try to pick up money to give Bibles to pastors in other countries. You know, we don't realize that, you know, if any one of us want a Bible, we can go buy one. Or find somebody to give us one. I mean, you know, it's just available. Well, you know, in a lot of these other countries, most of the people don't have Bibles, and the pastors are using Bibles, if they have any, just pages that they've just had. I mean, you know, they had an old one, it's fallen apart. They can't afford to buy Bibles. So what I did was, we bought three Spanish Bibles for three pastors in Colombia. So, and also we bought three Bibles for pastors in Russia. Now, these Bibles are, you know, Spanish Bibles, it's in what they can read, their language, and the Russian Bibles are in Russian, so that they can read it and understand it and preach it to their people. So, what I'm telling you is this. We as a church have bought six Bibles, three in Colombia and three in Russia, to help pastors so they can get up and preach to their people the Word of God, the true Word of God, and give that out to them and bring life. We have a part in six other churches around the world of what God is doing in their pastors' lives and in their church. Can you imagine? You know, a pastor gets one of these Bibles, and it's not cheap Bibles. You know, it's not something that's going to fall apart next month. They're getting what we have, basically. They're getting this, but it's just written in their own language. They get it, and they get to read it and preach to their people the Word of God. My God, changing not only the life of the pastor and maybe his wife or whatever and their children, but also all the people in their churches. All the people in their churches. So, you know, you, and you might say, well, pastor, we bought, yes, as a church, we bought that. You bought that. I bought that. All of us. So I'm excited about that. Just, you know, that we are touching people around the world, guys, and giving in that area. Amen. So pray for those three pastors. I don't know who they are going to be, but in Colombia and also in Russia. So pray for them that God would move upon their churches and move upon their lives personally and change things and do a mighty work. Amen. Well, praise God. Let's take our Bibles. Say, this is life. I will honor it today as this word brings life to my spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I know Easter was last Sunday, and I sure hope everybody didn't eat too much. Didn't eat too much candy. Not too much. Okay. Everybody did well last week. God, looks like everybody lost weight. I can see it. Looks like everybody lost weight. Oh gosh. You'll take it. All right. Amen. Amen. You know, it's good to have fun and just let God move. You know, once we accept the Lord, and probably every one of us knows the time, maybe even the day, that we accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior. You know, a lot of us probably have written it down, maybe, you know, the date and stuff, and we know when we got saved. And we know, as when we give our hearts to the Lord, that a battle starts to rage on the outside and even sometimes on the inside. Because you see, when we give our lives to the Lord, we're telling the devil that we no longer want to live for him. And we're even telling ourselves that we don't want to live for self anymore. But we just want to live for God and we want to do his will. But once we accept the Lord as our Savior, you know, God starts to work in us. I mean, the Spirit of God just comes in and starts to work in us. But also, we don't realize that the devil is also trying to bring destruction on the outside. And also, we want what we want. So there's three different things. You know, here we have God working in us by the Holy Spirit. Also, we have the devil on the outside just raging and mad because, you know, we have been taken out of the camp of the enemy, you know, our souls, and God now has it, and we're trying to live for Him. But also, we have our own selves, too. You know, our own wills that sometimes we want to do what we want to do. But you know what? When we give our hearts and we give our lives to the Lord, we're saying, Lord, I'm leaving self behind. And that's hard. Because there's certain things we like and certain things we don't like. Now, that doesn't mean it's all wrong. But you know what? When we give our hearts and we give our lives to the Lord, we're saying, self, I don't want that anymore. I don't want to live for self anymore. I don't want to be that selfish person anymore. I want to look towards God and see what He wants. And also, devil, I don't want what you have anymore either. I don't want what you offer in the world anymore that brings destruction. But Father, I want you. And the battle rages on. And honestly, sometimes God wins. Well, He always wins. But in us, sometimes God wins. Sometimes the enemy wins. And sometimes self wins. But you see, God is still patient with us. He still loves us. He cares about us. And the Holy Spirit, because we have accepted Him as our Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit comes and abides on the inside of us. And the Holy Spirit still works in us. Not only to bring freedom when we got saved, but also to bring freedom to our lives after we're saved, to justify us, to clean us up, to get things that we know are maybe not right with God, and we know are maybe not too good. But the Holy Spirit comes in and works in our hearts and in our lives and helps us to lay those things down that we know are not basically helping us to live the way God would want us to live, that victorious life. And even the Holy Spirit comes in and untangles those things that bind us and tries to destroy us. All kinds of things. All kinds of things. But you see, God, the Holy Spirit, is there to help us and to comfort us and to be there for us and to even pick us up when we do fall. That when something does happen that may not be right, that God just doesn't throw the towel or throw us out of the window and say, that's enough, I don't want you anymore. But God, thank God, but God says, come on now, did you learn something? Did you learn something? Let me help you to overcome that thing. Let me help you to accomplish my will upon your life. As we submit to God in His will, He helps us and supplies for us. It says in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, it says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. It says that all things work together for good to them that are called by God, number one, and called according to His purpose. So all things, that guys, things are going to happen. Things are going to happen. You know, and I know I've said this often, life is hard.
Yes.
A few yeses. Life is hard, man. Sometimes it just gets like, my God, we want to check out of this place, you know, check out and don't come back, you know. But you see, our God gives us a purpose. Our God tells us that we're on track. Our God takes those things that are weighing us down and takes them off. Takes off the weights upon our shoulders, the weights upon our lives, the weights upon our minds, and takes those things off as we submit to Him. As we look to Him. You might say, well, Pastor, what do I have to do? I have to kneel? No. God looks at the heart of a man, the heart of a woman, and says, what can I do with it? He doesn't look at the color of our skin. He doesn't look at the money we have or don't have. He doesn't look at where we live, what kind of house we live in. He doesn't look at what we drive. He doesn't look at any of those things. But God, in His mercy and His grace towards us, looks at the heart of a man and says, what can I do with him or her? And as He looks, as God the Father looks at us through the eyes and through the blood of Jesus, His mercy and His grace is extended towards us. Some people feel, even Christians sometimes feel, that they've gone over the cliff, that they've gone over the mountain or the cliff, and there's no way back to God. Well, that's just the enemy. That's just the devil. That's just self saying there's no way back. But with God, there's always a way back. With God, He makes all things possible to the Christian. All things are possible according to His will. There isn't anything we can do to stop the love of God and the presence of God and His mercy and His grace towards us as we look to Him. God, all things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. It says, because I know things can get hard at times. You know, when the first comes and you don't have the money to pay whatever, it's hard. Or any day that comes and you don't have it's hard. It's like, oh God, okay. It's hard. But you see, we serve a God that's a miracle working God. We don't live by the world's standards. We don't live by the world's methods. We don't live by what the world says. We live by what the Bible says and what He has proclaimed to be truth. And when we stand upon the truth of God's Word, things happen. God changes things in the atmosphere. God changes things around about us. God changes things and makes things happen. You know, we're going to read some scripture in Exodus. You know, when the children of Israel, can you imagine, guys? Every time I read the stories in the Old Testament about what God did for the children of Israel, my God, that was His people in the Old Testament. Well, we are His people in the New Testament. And we have a better covenant than what they had. We have a permanent covenant. We have the blood of Jesus. He wiped all those laws away and He said, you don't have to do it anymore. But all you got to do is these two now. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. That means keep God first and treat your neighbor right. The miracles, can you imagine when Moses walked up to Pharaoh and said, let my people go. And Pharaoh looks down at Moses and said, oh my God, look at this. Who are you? And Moses looked at him and said, let my people go. And he wasn't saying, Moses wasn't saying his people. He was saying God's people. And after all the scenario of all the plagues that came about, finally they were let loose. And can you imagine as they got to the Red Sea and they saw Pharaoh's army coming after them and the mountains on the side and the Red Sea in the front. And God said, Moses, take your staff, point it. He said, okay, Lord, followed by the Holy Spirit. That's God's Spirit, guys. The Spirit of God. And as He pointed it to the Red Sea, He didn't know what was going to happen. He didn't know. He just followed God. That's just like us, and I'll get back to that. But that's just like us. When the Spirit of God tells you something, you don't know the end result. We don't know what's going to happen. But Moses, following the Spirit of God, leading of the Holy Ghost, pointed at that staff at that Red Sea, and it said it opened up. Can you imagine the people's faces? Can you imagine Moses? You know, just looking out. And said, walk to the other side. And buddy, God made sure their feet wouldn't even get dirty. That's the kind of God we serve. That ground was dry. And maybe he might have even let some rocks be at the bottom too. I don't know. That they could walk across on dry ground and got to the other side. The miracle working power of your God. The miracle working power of your God in the Old Testament. But also we see the miracle working power of our God in the New Testament. What God can do, what God will do as we put our faith and trust in a God that can change every scenario, everything in our hearts, everything that we give Him attention to and let Him move in. Exodus chapter 17, look at verse 8. Exodus chapter 17, page 140. The power of God. Nothing can stop what God wants to do, guys. People can't stop it. Circumstances can't stop it. Our government can't stop it. Nothing can stop it at all. When God wants to move, when He sees a people that are ready to receive what He has for them, a people that are seeking Him and honoring Him, He'll move at will within those people like never before. Like never before. Look at... And let me say this, in Exodus chapter 17, starting with verse 8, they just came out of bondage. And they were in the promised land. And God told the Israelites, go and subdue the land. Go and subdue the land. Go and subdue. That means they were to go and conquer. But they were to go and conquer the land, conquer these cities that the land where they were, where God had given it to them, and they were to conquer these cities the way He said to do it. How He said to do it. Not how what we think, but how He said to do it. Look at verse 8, starting there. It says, Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. Verse 9, and Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. Verse 10. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with the Amalekites. And Moses and Aaron and Ur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hands that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon. And Aaron and Ur stayed up his hands, the one on one side and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for memorial in the book, and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. Verse 15, and Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi, which is our banner. Here we see that God brought them out by a miracle. Every time somebody gets saved, guys, that's a miracle. The bondages of Satan have been broken. And heaven is their home whenever they pass away. Brought them out of Egypt. Amalek fought against Israel. But God says to go and win the battle. Look in verse 10. It says, so Joshua did as Moses had said unto him and fought with the Amalekites. Moses and Aaron and Hur went up to the top of the hill. The battle they were going to fight was a physical battle. Joshua, Moses told Joshua, go down and get some men, and I want you to go and fight. It was a physical battle with Joshua. But Moses said, I'm going to go to the top of the hill, and I'm going to take two guys to help me, Aaron and Ur. And they went up to the top of the hill, which was a spiritual battle. You need both. You need people to fight the battle and win it on the ground, but also you need people to fight spiritually, praying, praying, and praying. Because you see, sometimes we try to win something and we try to do it only in the physical, and it won't work. God says we have to have both. We have to have people praying, seeking Him, but also we need people out in the trenches doing the job. Both. 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 It says that the battle physically was being fought by Joshua and his men, but a spiritual battle was raging on the hill with Moses, Aaron, and Ur. You know what? You might say, Pastor, why do we need people praying? Because the enemy out there is better equipped than what we are. He's been around a long time. Yes, I know he was made by God and he failed and did all his stuff. But we have an enemy out there that knows how to destroy people. He's well equipped. But, and that's the big word, but we serve a God that has been there for everlasting. And that knows more and is more powerful than anything the devil has. And so we have to make sure that we're on the right side and doing it the way God would desire us to do it. The spiritual battle of praying and seeking God and asking God to move, and in the forefront having the people doing the work. God moves in all those areas. Can you imagine? It says in Scripture that as Moses got up there, and you know, he was just, you know, they were looking down at the battle that was going on. Can you imagine? They had a front row seat to this great movie. But it was a real movie. And here Joshua and his men were fighting against this army that was a very powerful army. The Amalekites were idol worshippers. They didn't worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. They worshiped all kinds of other things, made idols to these things. But Joshua and his men, Moses and Aaron and Ur, were men that worshiped the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And Moses, Aaron, and Ur, they would look down and they would see them fighting and fighting and fighting. And Moses, after a while, just started to worship God. I can imagine as Moses looked down, he must have said, we need God's intervention. We need God to intervene. And so when he took his eyes off the battle and he put his eyes to the Lord, he said, Lord, we need help. And all of a sudden, he just starts to raise his hands as his eyes are on his God, saying, Father, intervene. What was happening was Moses was saying, I depend upon you. What he was saying was, let me say it again, I depend upon you. I'm not depending upon Joshua and the men. We have to depend upon him. And it says in Scripture, as long as Moses, and Moses, as he said, Lord, I depend upon you. I'm sure Aaron and Ur said, look, we're winning again. We're winning again. And I'm sure Moses said, what? And he put his arms down and looked, and they started to lose. So he puts his hands back up and said, Lord, we need you. And Moses and Aaron tap him and said, we're winning again. What we are? He puts his hands down. He looks at Joshua and sees they're losing. And then all of a sudden he clicks. People, we always win when we depend upon him. We always win. Even when we seem like we may be losing, we're winning. Because it's God that tabulates, not man. And Moses said, oh no, I got to keep my hands up. And look, he started walking around and he was just looking. He could look now, but he kept his hands up. And as his dependence upon his God, his people were winning. People, look, as we depend upon him, as we raise our hands in worship and honor to our God, God moves on our behalf. It may look like horror. It may look like a hurricane. It may look like a tremendous storm. But I tell you what, God can make the sun shine through the storm. He can make things change as we depend upon him. And as Moses kept his hands up and walking and keeping, they were winning. They were winning. They were winning because our God always makes us win as we depend upon him. But all of a sudden, we're all human. Moses, at a great age, how long can we keep our hands up? I mean, it takes, you know, we 5 minutes, we're going, oh Lord, okay, you know. The battle raged on for a long time. A long time. And it says that his arms became weak. And even his legs became weak. When we're in the battle, when we're in the midst of problems, it seems like, and we're depending upon him, it gets rough. And we need some Aaron and Urs, huh? We need somebody to come and say, give me your hand. Let me hold it up for you. Let me hold it up. And it says that Aaron and Ur held up his hands. Then they saw not only his hands were weak, but his legs started to give out too. And it says that they took a stone. They rolled it in back of him. And he sat on it. His legs were okay. And his hands, Aaron and Ur, were holding it up. Jesus is the rock. Jesus is the rock. We got to keep Jesus as the rock of our lives. When we sit upon the rock and we have Aaron and we have Ur, which is a form of the high priest and the Holy Spirit holding up our hands, victory is always ours, guys. Looking to him, depending upon him and what he did. And it says, as they stayed there, Joshua and his men in the battle won. Now, who played the most important role? All of them. Joshua, Moses is not more important than Joshua. And Joshua is not more important than Aaron and Ur. It took all of these men, all of them, Joshua and his men fighting the battle. It took Aaron and Ur, and it took Moses to win. All of them. In the body of Christ, it takes everybody. Everybody's a winner. No one's more important than another. I know God has different offices and whatever, but let me tell you, everybody's on the same level. Everybody's important to God. Pastors are not more important than the people. And evangelists are not important than the people or the pastors. No one. To God, what he calls, he appoints. He anoints and he says, go forth. But no one's more important. Everybody has their part to do, to win the battle, to get the job done, to tell people about him, about God, so that they could accept him as Lord and Savior. Can you imagine when the battle was over and Moses, Aaron, and Ur started to come down? It was over. It was done. They go back to camp. Joshua and his men go back to camp. And I'm sure when they got back to camp, there was a party that went on because they had won. And can you imagine as Moses started to tell the people what happened? As Joshua got up and said, let me share what happened. Let me tell you how when I went to slay this guy and he was about to kill me, and all of a sudden it seemed like there was just something there that wouldn't let him do it, and I killed him. The angels were there helping. Aaron and Ur stood up and said, let me tell you what happened. What happened? And they tell their stories of how they held up the arms of Moses. And I'm sure Moses, with tears in his eyes, said, I needed these guys. Help, help, help. They all got back to the camp and they're telling all their stories. Then they finally went to bed. They get up the next morning. They open the doors of their tents. And they see a mighty hand of God again. You might say, what did they see? It said it lasted for 40 years. It was a little round substance called manna, or angel food. The mighty hand of God. Every time they'd get up, they'd see this bread on the ground. And all they had to do is go and pick up enough for that day. And can you imagine? You might think, well, why did God do it that way? He wanted them to know He was their Lord, their God, and their supplier. As they gathered up that day, the enough for what they needed, they'd cook and they'd do whatever. And the day before the Sabbath, God would tell them, take enough for 2 days. Because on the Sabbath, you rest. I was reading something and it said that there was close to 3 million people, 2.5 to 3 million people, the Israelites. How much manna you think they needed every day? Someone did a calculation. It took about 45 freight cars every day. With 15 tons of manna in each one to feed the Israelites one day. It took 90 freight cars the day before the Sabbath. Is your problem too big that God can't solve? He took care of the Israelites and given them food. He'll take care of you and supplying and doing what you need for Him to do. He'll give you the wisdom. He'll give you the power. He'll give you the authority. He'll give you the life. He'll give you life. Something to live for. That's the kind of God we serve. That's the kind of God we serve. We sing that song, How Great Is Our God? How great is your God? You might say, well, Pastor, what about my children? God can move upon them. If he can supply manna for all these people for 40 years every day, 365 days out of the year, except the Sundays, or whatever the Sabbath was, whatever day it was. But He still supplied enough, a double portion. So let's say 365 days a year for 40 years. My God, what a great God we serve. There's nothing too hard that God cannot do. God can heal a marriage. God can heal children. God can heal anyone. God can heal your heart, your hurts in your heart. Let's say, Pastor, you don't realize what has happened to me years ago. I don't know. But I do know there's a God that years ago died on the cross to bring healing for you today. So we don't have to walk around wounded and hurt by people or things or circumstances or whatever. That we can be healed people. That we can go out and give the Spirit of God to other people. And let God move upon people's lives. Healed by the power of God. There's nothing too hard, and there's nothing impossible with God. Nothing. You need a job, God can supply it. You need God to move upon circumstances, God can do it. You might say, Pastor, what do I do? Give it to Him. He knows what you need. He knows what is agitating you. He knows what's happening in your heart. Give it to Him. Let the Spirit of God work in those areas and change our hearts and change our lives and change the circumstances. My God, if He can supply for the Israelites as they conquered city after city, and I know a few times they messed up and they didn't do it the way God said, and God had to let certain things happen to them, but they came back to Him. that came back to Him. God can supply for you. God can heal your heart. God can help you to forgive. That's hard. I know it. But God can help you forgive. And me. I'm sure. When I say you, I don't like to. All of us to forgive. You might say, Pastor, you don't know what they did to me. I know I don't. But I do know a God that can heal by the Spirit of God. That can heal our minds. That can heal our hearts. That can heal our bodies. He supplied for the Israelites. We are His people today. And He can supply for us and heal us. Amen. Why don't you stand, please? I appreciate you guys and I thank God for you. Oh, Jesus.